Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
From the Illinois Soybean Summit in Peoria, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 16th day of February, 2017. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We'll discuss the merger of Monsanto and Bayer with Monsanto's Rob Fraley. He made a presentation earlier today to the growers gathered here at the Illinois Soybean Association's Summit in Peoria. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too. That with Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's how the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. March corn at $3.73.5, finished 5.25 cents lower. The May at $3.81, down a nickel. July down 4.75 at $3.87.75. And December corn, $3.99 a bushel, down 3.75. March soybeans, 17.5 cents lower at $10.43.75. May at $10.54.75, down 17. July, 16.5. lower, $10.63.25. The settlement price, November beans, $10.24. That's down 10.25. Bean oil futures, 42 cents lower at $33.52. The bean meal at $3.42, down $4.90. Wheat futures, soft red at $4.47.75, down 7 for the day on their settlement. July at $4.73.75, 6.25 lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago, February contract, 25 cents lower. A settlement at $116.52.5. April at $113.25, down a dime for the day. March feeder cattle at $123.82.5, 45 cents lower. The April down 30 at $123.75. And lean hogs, April contract down 95 cents per 100 pounds at $69.82.5. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you can pick up your tickets for the all-day Ag Outlook. That's the 7th day of March. Don't delay. Don't do it later. Do it right now. WillAg.org. Fill out your forms online. Your tickets will be available for you on site there, but you need to pay for them right now. They're just $30, or you can call in at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Here are the way the numbers in other places are trading at this hour. Crude oil for the day at $53.31 a barrel. They're about 20 cents higher. Ethanol futures down a penny and a half at $1.53.08. Heating oil is at $1.62.07. That's 0.3 cents lower. Gasoline on the RBOB at $1.52.02 is down 2.5 cents. That heating oil, by the way, is diesel fuel. Natural gas at $2.85.08, down 6.7 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading 20,562. That's down 60 points. The U.S. dollar at 100.5. That's down 0.664. And gold futures for the day at $1,237.80, up $6.10. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Some clouds, a low of 38 tonight. Winds out of the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. And then tomorrow for Friday, mainly sunny skies. We'll go to 63 on a southwest wind at 10 to 20. Friday night, a few clouds from time to time. A low of 43 again, winds out of the southwest at 10 to 15. Saturday, partly sunny skies, a high of 65. Winds out of the west-southwest at 10 to 15. And Saturday evening, we'll go to a low of 37 degrees. Winds will turn to the west-northwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. On Sunday, a mainly sunny day, a high of 67. Monday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours. They'll turn overcast in the afternoon, and we'll go to a high of 69 degrees. Some showers will creep in on Tuesday. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour here on willag.org.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It's the 16th day of February. Have you purchased your tickets yet for the all-day ag outlook? If not, don't wait. Do it right now. It is the 7th day of March, and man, that's coming up really soon. On that day, we'll have a whole bunch of our analysts there. More than a dozen, in fact. And you can be there, too, for just $30. That'll give you the Beef House meal. You'll get coffee and a roll in the morning and a great day's event over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost, $30. Tickets available online at willag.org. Just look for Buy Tickets Now. It's the easiest way to do it. Or you can dial this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. I'm looking forward to the day because one of the people that will be there is Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hey, Dan, thanks for being with us right here on the Closing Market Report this afternoon, too.
You're more than welcome, Todd.
So yesterday was a really good day in the marketplace. Today, not so great for soybeans. It's been kind of an up and down ride. Is this a consolidation area, and do you know which way she's going to break out?
Basically, it's been soybeans is probably, I would consider them more of a consolidation phase. But when I take a look at the wheat chart and I take a look at the corn chart, it's been a slow, gradual climb. And I do think, looking at the technical indicators, the markets are in a, what I would call, at least on a daily chart anyway, in overbought technical conditions. We've had a nice run here during the first half of February. So I do think we are ripe here for some consolidation. We might be able to have one more bounce up. But I then kind of look for some kind of decline as we go towards the end of the month and into the first week or so of March. And then I think the market then will regroup. And then it'll look around and see what's going on the spring planting front, what kind of weather patterns seem to be shaping up for the spring planting season. And then we'll kind of go from there. Now, I got some cyclical work that makes me a little nervous. I've mentioned it a couple times of looking for like a late winter, early spring type high. And I think we're in that window now. I felt fairly comfortable being friendly to the market up through February 15th. And now since we've passed that, I think we're in a real danger zone here. And I would say probably the next 2 months. Farmers probably need to be watching it very carefully because if we would happen to kind of get into an early spring, which there is some indication that might occur. I'm no weather guy by no means, but there is some indication we may have an early spring. It would be very difficult to keep the market trending higher during that time frame. And then, of course, that would also be the time frame when we would start feeling the biggest bearishness of probably the South American crop at that time frame. So farmers, I think, do need to be, they need to know what they want to do on finishing up maybe old crop sales. They need to kind of know what they want to do, how much they want to be protected as we go on into the new growing season. Now, fundamentally, you know, all the fundamentals say that soybeans should go down. People's been trying to talk the soybean market down for several months, and it just doesn't seem to want to go down. The corn market, if we're going to see massive acreage shifts out of corn into soybeans, whether that's 4 million, 5 million, or 6 million, I guess we'll find out once we get toward the end of March. But if we're going to have a big switch out of corn into soybeans, then that's going to make soybeans pretty heavy. And corn, I think there's enough demand, old crop corn demand underneath corn. And then if we reduce acres significantly, the corn market then I think has an opportunity to come back, for some price strength, especially if we would get into some summer weather. And same way with beans. It's still going to be July, August U.S. weather to determine whether or not we stay on track on a seasonal pattern. But I'm kind of inclined to look for, like I said, a late winter, early spring high in this market, maybe, and then some softness as the planters start rolling across the Corn Belt, maybe sink into an early summer low of some kind, and then build a base and try to come back for a late summer, early fall rally. So that's kind of what my generally thinking is from a cyclical point of view. But, you know, right now the trend's up. The trend is your friend. We are overbought, so we are due for some consolidation and maybe even a pullback in here. I also still want to emphasize my position on the dollar. I still think the story is going to be a declining dollar. We had a nice decline during January into the first part of February. Now we've had a little recovery bounce because it got oversold. But now I think the dollar is now resuming the downtrend. And I think that will ultimately be very supportive to commodity prices across the board as we go on into the summer months.
Are you expecting inflation as well?
I think there's an element of inflation. How that's going to be gauged, I don't know. I mean, you can kind of read in between the lines in Washington about talking about border adjustment tax. And this is what other countries do. So we would just be doing what other countries do. And we would be taxing imports, and exports would be tax free. So it's a realignment of how we tax in this country. And naturally, since we are a big consumer of foreign goods, then that would have a tendency to probably raise the prices of a lot of foreign goods, or it would encourage more manufacturing jobs here in the United States. But it does, I think, would kind of go along with the idea that we are in a inflationary type environment. Whether it kicks in real strong or not, I mean, we're old enough to remember the 70s. I don't know if we'll go through another 70s type thing. But we just about every government entity is broke or so far in debt they can't see their way out, including the federal government. So somewhere along the line, our currency is going to reflect that, and it's going to be devalued. And that's what's going to generate inflation, I think, Todd.
Hey, when you coming up here for the All Day Ag Outlook, will you have meetings other than the All Day Ag Outlook, or are you just going to the farm there in northwestern Illinois?
I got a fraternity brother that's going to stop by, spend the night with me, him and his wife, going to spend the night with Teresa and I, on their way to the Commodity Classic in San Antonio. And after they leave, we're going to head toward Illinois. So I'm headed up there toward about the 1st of March and plan to be up there around 10 days or so. The only meeting that I have on the books right now is the WILL meeting there Tuesday at the Beef House. But I may, you might see me at another meeting or two while I'm up there. But yeah, I'm going to be up there at least the first 10 days of March or so. And then I'm going to go back to the Rio Grande Valley where it's warmer for another month and then come back to Waco.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week. We appreciate it, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting. He's out of Waco, Texas, joins us here on the Closing Market Report and will be here for the All-Day Ag Outlook. That's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can get your tickets now right there on our website at WILLAG.org or call this number, 800-898-1065. Don't wait. Don't wait. Get your tickets right now, willag.org or 800-898-1065.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Rob Fraley from Monsanto Company. He is considered the father of GMOs and is a graduate of the University of Illinois. Mr. Fraley, thank you so much for taking some time to spend with us this afternoon here at willag.org.
Well, in many ways, coming here to Peoria is coming home because I didn't grow up, too far from down Route 9 from here in the Hoops and Eastland area. So always great to come back. Great memories growing up on a farm. Great memories at the university where I not only met my wife, but my two boys have graduated from ACES. So obviously lots of great customers and great friends in the region. So good to be back. And, today I had a chance to, do one of the things I love to do, talk about the future, talk about new products, new science, new innovations. I spent a few minutes talking about, the new changes to our business with the Monsanto Bayer combination. So there was lots to talk about. Great questions, and love to follow up now.
Why is the consolidation in this area important, in your opinion? Because now we're moving from six primary players to three primary players.
We know a lot of people say just that, and one of the things I did was actually look at how many companies there actually are in the ag food chain. There's hundreds of seed companies. Let me ask you this one, Todd. What's the third largest corn seed company in Illinois in the United States?
Well, I think it's AgriGold.
Close, AgriLiant.
Oh, AgriLiant with AgriGold. I should know that off the top of my head.
And here's the point. It's not just six. And there's new players coming in from Asia, Africa. But what's exciting and what's going on, I think, is a lot of it is just driven by this explosion of technology at two levels. There's more venture capital going into the ag space than we've ever seen. In 2015, there was almost $5 billion that's funding new startups, companies doing satellites and imagery and sensors and new gene editing and RNAi on the biology side. So you got a wave of new companies coming in. And then you've got, the established companies like Dow, DuPont, like Syngenta, like Monsanto, like others that realize that in order to take advantage of these new innovations, we need to raise our game. We need to do more. And so, for several years, we looked at acquisitions ourselves as a company, notably the Syngenta acquisition. That didn't work out. The Bayer offer came as a surprise, last summer, but in the end it accomplished a lot of what we wanted to do, which was be able to increase the scale at which we can invest, and the combination of Monsanto and Bayer will let us invest more and drive the innovation that we're going to need if we're going to feed 10 billion people by 2050, if we're going to bring the kind of advanced tools to farmers that they will need to farm better and smarter. And so, for me, it's all about science, technology, driving innovation, and raising the game of companies. Ag is the last real industry around the world to become digitized, and it's going to change how we farm, and that's key.
What's the research and development budget combined for Bayer and Monsanto going to look like?
Well, you know, one of the things I talked about today, and one of the things that's really factored into our thinking on why we needed to do more, is I talked about, you know, the research budget that Monsanto has. This next year we'll spend about $1.5 billion, and I'll just be upfront. That's a lot of money. I feel really privileged that our company has, you know, the support of our shareholders and our owners to do that. But I also realize that if I look at a leading data science company like a Samsung or an Apple, they're spending $10 to $12 billion. Or if I look at a, you know, a major pharmaceutical company who's investing in the next wave of gene editing or RNAi based, you know, new treatments, you know, they're spending $8 to $10 billion. And, you know, I realize as the head of R&D that if we're going to bring these kind of new products into farmers' hands, we need to invest more. So the combination of Monsanto and Bayer will approach nearly $3 billion in R&D. And I expect as we, you know, capture some of the synergies that you get in a normal business combination, that we'll be able to reinvest that into the ag space. One of the other things that was important to us as Bayer made their proposal to acquire Monsanto was, you know, they recognized our leadership position in seeds and traits. The St. Louis site, the Chesterfield Village in St. Louis, will be the headquarters for the seeds and traits business and for the North America business. Our climate, which is our data science, our digital company, will be the main driver for the digital ag space for the new combined company. So I see this as, in many ways, the best of all worlds, the ability to bring the chemistry, the seeds and traits together from a research and a commercial perspective, but also then the ability to make the next wave of investments that we'll need to feed a growing world.
What kinds of employees in what areas would you like them to come from university systems like the U of I? What kinds of backgrounds would Monsanto, Bayer, other companies you think need in the near and distant future?
Well, one of the overarching things that we see is that data science engineers, statisticians, mathematicians play a much, much greater role across all of our businesses, literally from how we breed crops today. You know, in the case of corn and soybean, you know, we know, you know, the 45,000 genes in a corn plant or a soybean plant. Every time we make a breeding cross, we can take a sample of the DNA from that new seed and map exactly the changes and use that information now to really accelerate breeding. But it's all data science based and using that computational power. Our field testing is based on knowing how each plant performs in a different soil type under different environmental conditions and being able to understand, you know, the temperature, the soil type, the moisture that can optimize yield. And then as we get, you know, from the into the commercial world, having the ability to tailor those recommendations to the grower so that they can not only optimize their farming operation but literally the productivity of each field. And, you know, I describe it as, you know, we're moving into a world where we're breeding, you know, a new corn or a new soybean variety gene by gene, and we're going to be farming, you know, plant by plant in terms of optimizing yield with these tools. So data science is big. We continue to need the breeding, the agronomy, the biochemistry, the molecular biology, and, you know, the ability to, you know, on the commercial side, to be able to interface and bring these solutions together in an integrated way to our customers. So it's an exciting time. It's changing, and I'm thrilled that, you know, to be part of it.
Mr. Fraley, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That's Rob Fraley from Monsanto Company. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's National Almond Day. It's also Feast of the Sticky Buns Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1883, the Ladies' Home Journal began publication. In 1897, P. Walker was issued a patent for his invention of a machine for seeding cotton. In 1909, Richard McDonald was born. He was one of the brothers who founded McDonald's fast food restaurants. Richard also designed the Golden Arches logo. The first McDonald's, by the way, was at 15th and E Streets in San Bernardino, California in 1940. The chain began 8 years later. And today, more than 245 billion McDonald's hamburgers have been served. In 1932, James E. Markham of Stark Brothers Nurseries and Orchards in Louisiana, Missouri, received the first patent for a fruit tree. It was for a peach tree whose fruit ripened later than other varieties. In 1937, Dr. Wallace Hume Carruthers, a research chemist for DuPont, received a patent for his invention of nylon. One of its first uses was to replace the hog bristles that had been used in toothbrushes. Commercial production of yarn for nylon hosiery soon followed. And in 1948, the first U.S. newsreel aired on television. Broadcast by NBC, the program was sponsored by a tobacco company. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, coming to you today from the Illinois Soybean Summit in Peoria. We're now joined by Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. Let's start in South America for the day. Argentina and Brazil have been wet on and off over the growing season. Brazil in the middle of harvest, at least in Mato Grosso. Argentina still in the middle of their growing season. What do you see there?
Well, it's been a fairly complicated growing season. Just like you said, there's been some dry areas, there's been some wet areas. And over the last week, a lot of these areas have turned wetter, especially in Mato Grosso. We've seen several reports of flooding in that state, and we've also observed that a couple of locations measured over 20 inches of rain within the last 30 days. Now, you might say to yourself, well, that's Brazil. Brazil gets a lot of rain. No big deal. Well, Brazil only should average around 10 inches of rain per month at this time of the year. So when you start putting numbers up that are in the 20-inch range, it tells you that they've seen too much rain. Whether or not this turns into an issue later on remains to be seen. But nonetheless, it has been very wet there, especially within the last 5 days. Now, as we move forward, there's not as much rain in the forecast. The real wet pattern that developed all of that flooding that we've seen in some areas is pretty much diminishing, and now it's pretty much over with. So we'll just see more of your popcorn variety type thunderstorms, which are more typical of this time of the year. In Argentina, the situation is also a little bit complex. Parts of Entre Rios, which is where around 7% of its soybeans are produced, had over 9 inches of rain, at least in a couple of locations there. That was all within the last 7 to 10 days. They should only see around 5 inches for the entire month of February. As we move forward, we're looking for another major rain or two over the next 10 days. So it's staying wet in Argentina. Again, the same story. Does this matter? We don't really know the answer to that. We just know it's going to stay wet.
Speaking of does this matter, it seems to me that it's been fairly warm in the United States, especially the growing regions, over the last couple of months. Have you been thinking about how that might matter for the U.S. in its growing season?
Well, we certainly have. And once you start digging into some of the statistics, it's pretty interesting what's been happening in the U.S. Corn Belt. If you look at January and February combined, and we're assuming that February will be much warmer than normal through the end of the month, which is a real good bet, given that temperatures will be in the 60s across most of Illinois at one point or another coming up here. What will end up happening is that January and February will end up being one of the warmest on record, going all the way back to 1895. Now, if you look at how warm it was in the January-February period, and then you look at what happened in the summers that followed, you can start to get some idea of what may or may not happen later on in the growing season. Our conclusion is that this doesn't really tell us a whole lot. If you look at some of the July and August periods, which is when corn and soybeans are real sensitive to weather, you can see a pretty equal mix of dry and wet years, and also a pretty good mix of warm and cool years. Though we will say this, there tended to be a little bit of a shift toward the warm side and a little bit of a shift toward the dry side in some of these years, especially when you're real warm, like we are in 2017. Is this something to get excited about? Probably not. We just conclude at this point that we don't really have enough information to start drawing some big conclusions for what might happen later on, even though we know that we're in a fairly historic period as far as warmth goes.
That's Mike Tenora with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. I'm Todd Gleason.